Jeff, Jeff, Jeff. Jeff, 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 Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff.
Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books at your favorite book location. As well as also the Iowa Business Report, the Iowa Politics Report. They come to us from his mothership, the KXEL Cedar Falls Waterloo, where he's kind enough to join us today. Hi, Jeff.
Your favorite book location? I believe we call them stores, but you well, know.
Or are you in the Library of Congress yet? I mean, we should check that.
Yes.
Of course. You have to be.
Like you're going to know how to check. Yes, they have numbers and everything. And you send copies to the Library of Congress. See, that's the scam, by the way.
Yes.
The Library of Congress operates by requiring that you have these numbers, but you have to send two copies of the book. I mean, their budget is nothing. People are sending them free books all the time. I mean, it's a scam. I'm telling you, it's a scam, McNeil.
But you got your Dewey Decimal, don't you? You got your Dewey Decimal, like 9-digit long decimal, too.
Oh, I did the plus four. Just like my zip code, I did the plus four. Absolutely. Don't want anything to get misdelivered here.
The first person who liked my picture of me staring at a deep dish pizza in Chicago was Jeff Stein. I'm surprised you are not ripping me to shreds for having the greatest look of joy in my life at a piece of food, man.
You have been married a long time. You have three tremendous children, thanks to your wife's influence.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
And you're sitting there drooling at Chicago deep dish pie, which is tremendous. That's not the point of it.
Oh.
What's sad is you posted it. I saw it. I said, good Lord. And, of course, I liked it and reposted it because that's what you do. And then one of my broadcast buddies in Nevada, of all places, responds to it and says, he's not wrong.
He's not. It's not. No. That's. I mean, my kids only wish I look like that when they were born. I mean, it really was kind of
or at any point since. none of them are married yet, right?
Not yet, no.
When the kid is married and you're like, that's it, I'm done. You're going to see the look just like Chicago pie.
Well, if we have Chicago pie at the wedding, which, you know, I'm not against. that could be the menu item right there. Absolutely. I think about that in a heartbeat. Okay. So I want to actually,
while your heart is still beating as opposed to the clogged arteries.
No, you know what? You just take it. You take it in, you know, in a little bit at a time. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon, that sort of thing.
Atta buddy. It's a marathon. Yes, sir. Speaking of which,
pardon me while I was putting up that window, I got a little lightheaded. Oh God. Anyway, I want to, start off with something you and I, we've talked a lot about court cases,
mm-hmm.
but we really haven't broken down the hush money case, which I think we need to do because Trump is like a trout in the bottom of a boat at this point, flopping around trying to get out of this one. And I was thinking to myself, okay, how dangerous is this trial for him? Because he seems to be working harder than in Atlanta with the RICO case down there to get this one at least delayed, moved, or anything. He's frantically trying to do anything he can to delay this. How, in regards to the hush money case, how dangerous is this case for him?
I'm going to take a little different view in terms of the flurry of activity, and here's why. Well, first of all, it's next. So, you know, it's like
Monday.
Full court press.
It's Monday. Right? If nothing delays it, it's Monday.
It's next in the agenda, so that's where the attention is. It is not a complicated case. Okay. And that's why you may be seeing such a flurry. Not necessarily that it's the riskiest one for him, but it's the least complicated, meaning once the trial starts, it's going to get over quickly. How long's the trial in Atlanta going to take?
Oh, it's going to take years. Years and years.
Well, that's my point. So in other words, he's furiously trying to move the case that can get resolved quickly. Because if there is a conviction, you've read the same polls that I have that say strong Trump supporters might be moved if there's an actual conviction. Now, I don't know that they feel that this is the conviction, and it's the same level as some of the others. But it's one of these cases that's not going to take a long time to try. The elements are pretty basic about it, and I don't know that it's a slam dunk. You've already got the judge who's made comments about Michael Cohen, and is he going to commit perjury by coming in because he's got inconsistent statements, that kind of thing. But the bottom line is, it's the sort of case that can be resolved quickly, and that's why they want everything unresolved in November. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. No case resolved until after the election.
Well, and that E. Jean Carroll, verdict. I mean, it is a bit of a sliding scale on one of these things. I mean, it's
right. That wasn't criminal. That was heinous if you believe the allegations, but not criminal.
guilty of the allegations, by the way, too. I should mention that.
Again, it's a civil case. It's an entirely different standard than a criminal case.
What's interesting about this is that you obviously there was the one case about it. McDougal. Was it McDougal who was the Playboy playmate, playmate Karen McDougal? She barely is the witness that I think Trump's most scared of, because it shows a pattern of behavior here that backs up Stormy Daniels. And you've got basically people buying off witnesses or victims, I guess it would be the better word. The allegation is you're buying off victims and shutting them down through these National Enquirer and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
This where does this go? Because, like I said, this, I think, has been under the radar. Could Trump go to jail with this case if he is found guilty in it?
Well, again, the whole point of it is that money was paid to buy silence. And the reason the silence was bought was to not harm his election chances. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the money paid would have to be tracked as a campaign-related expense. And it wasn't, which therefore would be falsifying financial documents in a campaign. And that's a federal charge. And you don't have a lot of discretion in federal cases. I mean, that's the long view of the whole thing.
And by the way, good point on the federal cases thing is that those federal cases are a lot more streamlined for the most part.
They are. And from a punishment standpoint, there's no probation in the federal system.
No.
You know, I mean, when you're sentenced to 10 years at the Gray Bar Hotel, you serve 10 years at the Gray Bar Hotel. It's not like it's suspended, it's et cetera, et cetera. Now, remind me about your friend, the Playboy playmate. I already forgot her name.
Karen McDougal. She was okay. She was now, and just for the background there, National Enquirer publisher David Pecker had basically done the same thing that he tried to do with Stormy Daniels, which was this is a pattern of behavior that they basically would, there'd be an allegation against Trump that one of these tabloids would swoop in, offer a check, and then basically threaten to shut them down if they spoke anything about it.
How long a pattern of payoffs was there? And here's what I'm getting at. Yeah. If Ms. McDougal in 2014 had made the allegation and it was paid off, the pattern you're establishing is that they pay people off, not tied to an election. In other words, if you show a behavior of payoffs over the course of time, and this is just simply the latest one, that hurts if you're trying to say it's tied to an election. If Ms. McDougal was paid off contemporaneous with the election, you have a different pattern.
Well, and I'm going to counterpoint that to you. Just because Trump wasn't running for office when Karen McDougal happened he himself got himself into an election. No one, he wasn't one day saying, what do you mean I'm running for office? He himself did.
Sure.
The fact
sure.
that he then didn't understand it, I actually will go the other way. And once again, it's the argument would be he has a pattern of behavior where he basically, people are claiming they're victims of his. They get bought off by a tabloid and these allegations kind of would disappear. He just didn't realize doing it when you're running for office has different complications. So, and the argument, what I'd say is that it makes it easier into a point to prove the case. Understandably, I think it's harder. Wouldn't you agree it would be harder with the previous experience to basically say, well, this is not something that, really had anything to do with the election?
Well, okay. Now, one small thing.
Yeah.
Has Ms. Daniels or Ms. McDougal have either claimed that there were forced relations, or was it a consensual relationship, one-night relationship?
I don't think it's so cut and dry. I think I don't think it's so cut and dry. I think there was an agreement for something, and you know whether that gets to spanking with a new with a magazine with his face on the cover. I mean, it's you know, things go down different paths. How about we say it like that?
Okay. That's good thing. This show's on in Chicago at night.
Yeah.
My point is, I'm not sure they're victims in the sense others are victims. And I just want
like Eugene Carroll is a different case than this.
That's what I'm getting at. I don't want all of it to be, I want to be very careful about terminology, but it's a minor point. No, I would say if the idea was let's pay someone off to keep details of a consensual relationship secret. And if that was done prior to contemplating running for president, if he then did it again later, the payoff, I think it's harder to say that the pattern is going, that the pattern is established and therefore he's guilty of the election fraud. You don't need a pattern for the election fraud.
Yes.
All you need to do is just say, and so that's why the pattern stuff, I think gets in the way. If there's some way to show, look, you got to shut this woman up so that she doesn't spill the beans during the election. Now, Mikey Cohen, go pay her off. Yes, he might have used the same methodology and non-disclosure agreements, et cetera, as in the past. But it's a very targeted thing this time. And so, again, the issues, as with so many things concerning Mr. Trump, the issues all get blurred. When we're in court, we've got to be very specific, and I think that's the easiest way to understand the case is to have it at its base level, and a good prosecutor, that's all they need, really.
One of the people that's expected to testify is Hope, and I can't remember her last name, his former personal assistant, Hope.
Is it Hicks?
Hope Hicks, yep. Mm-hmm. Hope Hicks is expected to testify in this case. I got to imagine that Trump does not want that to happen in any capacity as well, even with a delayed trial in any in this way. But, you know, this is once again one of these people that's you and I have talked about inner circles. You get, you know, he's protected. There's rings around him that keep him protected. Hope Hicks is right there on the next level outside from him. That's got to be something that if, you know, she knows a lot of things that went on within the Trump campaign the presidency, as well as his regular business dealings as well.
She has never been accused of anything or charged with anything, to my knowledge, correct?
No, exactly. It's more of a witness situation.
Oh, no. But here's the distinguishing point. Wasn't it just today that his former tax attorney got a second sentence?
For lying, yeah. He's in Rikers right now, man.
And then after that, here's your 5 months of federal time, which, as we've already established, is not waived. Inner circle is different when you are the defendant. Now, that guy took the fall. Remember, we've been talking about that. And that was the whole idea of Michael Cohen in a different realm of there are layers of deniability and, you know, you fall on your sword and we take care of you. And that's what Weisberg, I can't recall the man's name. Hope Hicks is in a different category. And she also left the White House at a certain point. So, again, she's not a target. And that does make her, in one respect, more interesting because, you know, what's Trump's people going to say about Cohen? And he's a bad witness and a bad example. But they're going to say, well, which story do you believe? Which time under oath was he lying? Well, he told this story to save his skin. She's not in that situation. That changes the whole dynamic of the testimony, to your point.
Well, and also it brings you back your point about the federal charges is that you can go character assassinate all day long. If you still paid the money, you paid the money. And that's the problem with the federal charge on this. That'll be interesting. Cannon, by the way, one last thing here. Cannon has moved that trial away from June. So more than likely, the documents case in Florida is not going to happen anytime before the election at this point. Let's take a break. Come on back. Jeff Stein joining us. We'll talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene trying to implode the Republican Party again in the House. It is the Matt McNeil Show on a Wednesday. Okay, how could I forget? Hey, it takes some courage to bet.
Broadcasting in the evening on WCPT 820 Chicago's Progressive Talk, and in the afternoons on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein in with his usual Wednesday visit. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Republican far right is very upset about, obviously, aid to Ukraine, which we can talk about the complexities of that and who they're taking their barking orders from. But the reality,
that's the least of it. Yeah. I mean, the far right is so upset about everything in the last 8 months.
And Johnson just gets into the position like McCarthy got there. It's easy to sit there and say, I'm going to jam this down their throats. And then all of a sudden you realize, I really can't do that. And we're going to shut down the government and we're all going to take the blame for it. So, you know, Johnson's trying to fall on grenades for the Republicans so they don't shut it down, because that will make them completely unelectable, really, in an election season. But you just don't have nuance or understanding how political parties work by anyone on this far right group. Apparently, Johnson wants to push forward a bill which they brokered with Schumer in the Senate, where it's basically Ukrainian aid, Israeli aid. They're going to push it through. Biden says he's going to sign it. And the Marjorie Taylor Greene and these guys are like, no, we're livid. This is not going to happen. Do you think that, I mean, she's threatening to put a vote out. If it happens, he's gone. And they're once again a rudderless ship. What is your thought on this? I mean, do you think that Johnson's even going to bring that bill up for a vote at this point?
Well, he's got a real problem because of the fact that she wants to make a big deal about what's wrong. But when asked to join the leadership and try to work on solutions, she refused. Mm-hmm. This is what came out today. Is that Johnson offered her a post in his so-called kitchen cabinet.
Okay.
Like, you know, I want you on the inner circle. I want to hear, you know, I want you in on this. And she said, no, that doesn't work for me. Oh, golly. Okay. So it's real easy to snipe from the outside. This is a broad statement,
yes.
Not just her. It's easy to snipe from the outside. It's easy to say, oh, man, those radio guys are terrible. If you gave me a show, okay, Chester, help yourself.
You knock yourself out, man.
Because, you know, the fact of the matter is, and I don't know that she's in such a safe seat these days, but, you know, if you're in a safe seat, yeah, it's a lot easier to be the virtual bomb thrower. You know, rushing up to file the motion to vacate, and it's like, well, I'll see if we're going to push this or not. How do you operate with a one vote majority when you've got that hanging over your head at all times? I mean, I just don't see. You and I have talked about this. Go up to any Republican incumbent and say, what have you done that leads to you being reelected? Well, we went back to regular order. We've passed 12 bills. No, you didn't.
No.
You combined those 12 bills into two as opposed to one big bill. That's not progress. What else have you done? Well, we were without a speaker for 4 months.
Well,
hey, there you go.
And it should be mentioned, your MAGA guys in your district keep screaming that that one bill you passed, those two bills you passed, were highly inferior. So it's not exactly you can't hang a hat on this. Okay, so two things. One, how much of this is Marjorie Taylor Greene thinking she could possibly become the speaker? Because she can't. But let's face it, she is part of this Twitter troll Republican generation. I've got them here in the state of Minnesota. They're absolute idiots. But they know they couldn't win a statewide race if their life depended on it. And so the only way that she could possibly get into a position of power, and think about it, the third most powerful person in the government as speaker, is if she can somehow strong arm her way into this. There, I don't think she has a chance, but do you think that that's part of what her motivation is that's the way she sees that the only way she can grab that brass ring is to do it this way?
Well, first, people on Twitter aren't civil and can't be trusted.
I know. Oh. I know. Oh, God. Exactly.
That's not the Twitter X machine I know. No, here's the problem I have with her. One friend, Matt McNeil.
Yeah. I only wish some of them would. Knock yourself. Block me, please. My life will be better.
I beg of you, block me.
Why are you coming to my page? Just leave me alone.
I like Chicago pie. Leave me alone. No, I don't think she wants to be speaker, because then you have to be held accountable. But now, that having been said, Who had Mike Johnson as speaker on their bingo card?
Exactly.
A year ago, 8 months ago, 6 months ago, no one. So it's not so crazy because everything is lunacy.
Here's the better
Put
question.
Put that on t-shirts there and raise money for the station.
Here's the better question. All right. If it comes down to, if you are a moderate Republican and your two choices are Hakeem Jeffries as the Democrat speaker or Marjorie Taylor Greene, where do you go? Because I
the
can,
you know, I go to the restroom and I'm not available for the vote.
If one of them does, all of a sudden you're going to have the Democrat in charge. I mean, you're going to have to, everyone has to vote. And so if that becomes the candidate that's up for a vote, you know, I think that this, could we actually see a Democratic Speaker of the House with a Republican majority in this really quirky situation?
Oh, sure. Oh, of course you could, because here's the thing. With that one seat majority, let's say you had two Republicans missing for good reason.
Yeah.
Okay, they're not hiding. They're just gone. What's to say a Democrat can't file a motion to vacate and insist that it be voted on immediately? Nothing is to keep them from doing that. And that's why Johnson did not force a vote on some of this FISA stuff, because they didn't have enough Republicans in the room. And there was the fear that once things got stirred up, one of the Democrats would say, about that pending motion to vacate, let's bring that up. And they couldn't stop it. That's how crazy, absurd, lunatic this whole thing has become.
When you bring in, and we got less than a minute here, but when we bring in the Arizona ruling yesterday and the fact that every Republican's running away from that at top speed.
Including Trump.
They're all trying to get away from this, like the in vitro fertilization ruling. You have nothing getting done. You have the clown car in charge of the House. You know, how badly is this damaging the reelection chances of Republicans?
Hugely. And you saw that by Carrie Lake switching her position earlier, before it was a real thing. She said, oh, it's a great law. Well, that doesn't look so good. Now Trump says, oh, that's terrible in Arizona. That's the bellwether. It's going to hurt, because there's no message of how to win elections with that far stance.
Find Jeff Stein's books wherever you find books. There you go. Jeff, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week. Chicago, have a good one. Minneapolis, St. Paul, hour two up next.